What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever looked through a bag of grass clippings looking for a four-leaf clover, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
The Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pro football full circle.
Yeah, I don't really like playing the what-if game, so what I do know is I have... more than 2 months right now where, my protocol is not testing every single day. So that's kind of the only thing that I'm thinking about. I don't like playing the hypothetical game. Obviously, I'd love to be playing second weekend in February. Hopefully we're in that position.
Oh, baby, we are off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around, turning the page to week number 11. You heard Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They are on the road this week, 2.5-point favorites against the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of news and notes to get to. Chase Young out for Washington, torn ACL. Ron Rivera confirmed that. How will that affect the team moving forward in the second half of the year? Saquon Barkley, Scott, did come back to practice. He should be ready for Monday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Giants are 11-point dogs already on Monday night on FanDuel. But the game last night, it was all San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo and the crew stepped up, completed 15 of 19 passes, 156 through the air early. He finished with 182, two touchdowns, no interceptions. San Francisco dominated Matt Stafford and the Rams last night, 31-10. Is San Francisco back on track with last night's performance?
Well, you know, with the NFC being so bad, you know, at 4-5, they're actually tied for the last wild card spot if you go by the loss column, the five losses, as a lot of teams are. So, I mean, playoff-wise, are they back? Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's amazing the stubbornness in that they ran 44 times, Joe, but they weren't really running. I mean, it was effective, but they weren't running for a lot of yards. I mean, 156 yards on 44 carries. I mean, but they were getting like a consistent 3.5, 3.5, 4, 4, 3.5, you know, and that was, it's enough to move the chains and control the football. So that's the San Francisco team last night, maybe a little bit more passing, but in essence, that was the team I thought that was going to go to the Super Bowl. I predicted them in Tennessee. And for the Rams and Matthew Stafford, you know, what are the excuse makers going to do? Everybody has an excuse on why Matthew Stafford stinks and loses. So I'm curious to read all the papers today and all the pundits and see, you know, what excuse can they come up with now? No running game. You know, Odell Beckham wasn't ready to play. No Robert Woods. You know, what excuse they have for him? Because second straight week, second nationally televised game, Tennessee last week, he lays an egg. The team lays an egg, to be fair. But still, bottom line is he finds ways to lose. And I don't think that Rams team will win on a big-time level. That's the 49ers team I expected, and that's the Matthew Stafford team that I figured would be coming sooner or later. And right now it's coming for the Rams, two straight losses.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the biggest thing, and when you look at Stafford's performance of back-to-back weeks now, they lose early to Tennessee, right? 7-point favorites. The two critical interceptions in that ballgame in the first half, right? They pick six. That changed the whole complexity and the momentum in favor of Tennessee. And then how about last night? San Francisco jumps up 7-0. All of a sudden, on the ensuing drive, another interception returned for a touchdown. It was like a title fight. They were not out in the first round before they had an opportunity to even throw a punch. Now, granted, last night's interception bounced off his wide receiver. The defender was right there. But at the end of the day, he didn't show the mental resolve to bounce back in a big way and lead his team to victory. Call it what it is. 243, one touchdown, two interceptions. Understand that Woods is hurt, but OBJ is there. They made a whole big thing about Odell Beckham being back in L.A. LeBron is happy. didn't really showcase a whole lot last night.
No, he wasn't in there in the end. And if you want to say he doesn't know the plays, well, you know what? That's shame on Odell and shame on the Rams and Sean McVay. I mean, you had him for a week. I mean, you can't tell him, Joe, hey, you know what? We're limited on what we could do right now. So let's go back to schoolyard football. You run up 5 yards and you cut in. I mean, you can't do that. You can't have him on the field. You can't even have him on the field as a decoy. They couldn't even get an, oh, by the way, touchdown. I mean, those 243 yards, a good portion of those were in the last two drives when the game was completely over. Even when it was early fourth quarter when San Fran went up to the 31-10 or 31-7, they couldn't even come down and score a touchdown. I mean, it was just pathetic football from the Rams last night. And they knew with Arizona losing on Sunday, they win, they move into a first-place tie with the Cardinals. I mean, it was right there on a silver platter for them. And not only didn't they get it, they looked ugly in the process of not getting it.
They did. And I'll say this about their defense. And I understand Aaron Donald is one of the most dominant defensive tackles in the game. And he is double-teamed the majority of the time. But you're paying him an exorbitant amount of money. Him and Jalen Ramsey. And even though they get their stats, when push comes to shove, this defense, to me, is just a mediocre defense. They do not take over the game to solely say, okay, we'll carry the offense if the offense isn't there. They didn't do that last night. And even though San Francisco's offense, let's say, was only getting three and a half yards per carry, to still give up 156 on the ground, I mean, you would expect a better effort from one of the top defensive tackles in the game.
Yeah. And what about Sony Michel, Joe? You know, they gave up a sixth and a fourth round pick for this guy. They're trading away picks left and right. And that's cool. I'm all for, you know, going for it and trying to win. But, you know, he's been there long enough. He's non-existent in that offense. I mean, he's just basically worthless. They threw away those two draft choices. So I don't get it. That Rams team should be a heck of a lot better than what it is.
Yeah, we'll see. Scott and I are going to come back. We'll get you prepared for week number 11. A lot of games left in terms of marquee top battles in both the AFC and NFC. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, breaking down week number 11. We talked yesterday briefly about the early kicks. Going to turn our attention now with Scott about the later kicks, because there's some tighter spreads, and I want to get Scott's take about one of the teams that he was high on a few weeks ago, Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Back-to-back losses. They did not play last week. They're on the road to face the Raiders, coming off a disappointing Sunday night loss to Patrick Mahomes and the crew. They were catching 3 points, lose the ball game outright, get blown out in the second half. But Scott, Cincinnati is -1 on FanDuel, -110 either way. Total set at 49, juiced slightly to the over at -114. Early on, I leaned to Cincinnati, and I brought this up Sunday night. I did in-game live, and I said, you know, the interim staff was able to get the Raiders to a certain point, right? Meaning they were able to knock off Philadelphia. They knocked off Teddy Bridgewater and Denver, a more methodical type of offense. But with the preparation going up against a marquee elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I thought that that's where maybe the game plan perspective would be exposed. And now, granted, they did not look that great in the second half in terms of second half adjustments. And I think that that could carry through the rest of the season for the Raiders. How do you see this game matching up? Because early on with Joe Burrow, I give the edge to the Cincinnati defense, and more importantly, Cincinnati coming off a bye week.
Yeah, how about Cincinnati actually being favorite too on the road, right? I mean, that's a lot of respect for the Bengals, who have, you know, kind of slipped up here a little bit. I'm still on them, but I think that we've seen over the last couple of weeks that they may not be ready to contend for the AFC Championship. Not that we thought they were, but, you know, you always like to give teams the benefit of the doubt. What I saw from the Raiders, though, Joe, the other day against Kansas City, boy, we saw the old Derek Carr. You know, those two interceptions. Now, one was just as good as a punt, so I don't necessarily blame him for that. I don't know if that was in his thinking or not, but two passes that theoretically should never have been thrown. He's being in the process of being sacked and just throws the ball up just for Hail Mary's sake. You know, you can't do that. So you might be right. That team has been through, the grind for sure. Right? From the beginning of the season to everything else that went on, and we've well documented, they may have run out of gas, you know, halfway through this season. So the fact that Cincinnati, you know, coming off a bye, yes, but the fact that Cincinnati is a road favorite, that tells me something. To me, they're begging for Vegas money, and I don't see it. Vegas 8-1 over at home this year. If you want to go over, that would be the case. Burrow, the Bungles 8-5-1 in games that Joe Burrow starts and actually finishes. So I like Cincinnati in the game. I think they get back to it. I think they're the better team overall.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think in terms of a defensive perspective, the way Mahomes was able to really pick apart that defense, I expect Joe Burrow to do the same with those weapons. Look for the short to intermediate passing game, because that's what beat Las Vegas early on with Travis Kelce. It wasn't the deep throw so much to Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. It was the short to intermediate throws that really allowed him to really pick apart and stay in manageable third down situations in that ball game. So Scott and I both like Cincinnati early on in this ball game. He did mention the 8-1 number to the over. Like I said, on FanDuel, -114, under and over set at 49. The other game is Arizona. Obviously, Kyler Murray expects to play in this ballgame. -2.5 on FanDuel on the road to face Russell Wilson in Seattle. Russell Wilson did not look sharp. The finger obviously was a concern. Grip issues. Cold weather. Now he comes back home. This is a must-win game for both teams, but more importantly, Seattle, if they have any shot to make a potential wild card. 49.5 is the total, -112 to the over, -108 if you want to bang out under the 49 and a hook. I sort of lean to Russell Wilson in this spot, Scott. Don't love Seattle here, but after being shut out 17-0, I think they could possibly strike the upset, +122 on the money line. This is the game they won Thursday night last year when Kyler Murray was banged up and almost led the come-from-behind fourth-quarter victory.
Yeah. Really, you're right, the season is on the line. Mathematically, no, but realistically, yes. You know, you'd even wonder where somewhere along the line if they wouldn't just, you know, switch it off for Russell if it got to the point where what's the point? Might as well lose and save him for next year or get a better draft choice. But Pete Carroll, 34-14 straight up, 32-13-3 against the spread as a home game as the losing team, including 15-5-1 as an underdog, which he is here getting 2.5 points. That tells you, you know, it's tough to beat Seattle in Seattle anyway, but especially as a home dog. So Russell Wilson, 27-15-2 against the spread as a dog. You know, you got to figure Kyler Murray's going to be a little rusty, right? We've seen, you know, even Aaron Rodgers was a little rusty on Sunday in addition to Russell Wilson. We've seen these quarterbacks that have missed even 1 week come back and be a little rusty, let alone a couple of weeks for Kyler Murray. And if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play, you know, that's a big setback as well. I don't think Arizona, I think, you know, the means are starting to kind of come in with Arizona. They're a good team. Give them credit for what they've accomplished, but they're not a 13-4 team or a 14-3 team like they're on pace to do. You're going to lose some of these close ball games, and I think this is the game that they lose another one here. I like Seattle to win in a minor upset.
Okay, so they started 7-0, right? And now they're 7-3 overall. Okay, if they lose this game, or 7-2 overall, right? They had the bye week, so 7-2 overall.
Eight and two.
Yeah. My bad. 8-2 overall. If they lose this game to Seattle, 8-3 overall, would you take a flyer at +2,500 for them not to make the playoffs? Remember, they started 6-2 last year, finished 8-8. Would that be enough for you to buy in that maybe a second half slide is on the horizon for Kyler Murray and the crew if they lose this ballgame?
To not make the playoffs, boy. That's a lot to not win a division, one thing. To not make the playoffs, they would have to fall behind a lot of teams, Joe. You know, as I said right now, 5-5 Carolina sitting in the last spot. So are they going to fall that far behind? They got a bye week after Seattle. They come back at Chicago. You know, it's on the road, okay. They got the Rams after that at home, but okay. They got at Detroit. They'll win that, right? They got the Colts at home. at Dallas, and then Seattle. It's a tough schedule. You know, it is a, you know, I see a five game, you know, could they lose like four or five in a row with that schedule? Yeah. You know, there's no Houston in there. There's no Jacksonville, you know, Jets or Dolphins or Giants or Redskins, you know, whatever the case may be, potatoes. You know, there is real teams in there except for Chicago, but that's on the road. It's never easy to win in Chicago in December. So I could see in a warm weather team, especially, I could see that happen 25 to one to not make the playoffs. It's worth a couple of shekels.
All right. How about this one?
Yeah.
How about this one? Because this might be a better bet, and it's basically almost even money. You got under and over for their win total on FanDuel. 12.5, minus 115 to the under. They got eight wins now. You need five wins.
They're not getting five more wins. One, two, how many games they have left? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven games left. They're going to go 5-2 with that schedule, with their quarterback and best player maybe not playing? No, I like the under on that one a lot.
Minus 115, not that bad.
No, that's not bad at all. I like that.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they're not going to go 5-2 with that schedule, right?
Well, you mentioned, what was the one game they had, Detroit? You never know.
What? I mean, right. Detroit. Right, that's at Detroit.
Right.
Yeah. Even that was a tough one. Though. Right.
So let's give them one win, one loss. Excuse me. One win over Detroit. And then who do they have? They have Seattle, the Rams, Dallas.
Dallas, at Dallas, Colts at home, Rams at home, at Chicago. And then at Seattle this weekend.
Mm. They would have to, yeah, they would have to lose this game to Seattle.
This weekend, this is the key, yeah. This is really kind of is the key, yeah.
This is the swing one.
Yeah, then you get in the bye, and then the Bears, yeah, that Bears suck. So they win at the Bears, and, you know, it keeps on rolling. Yeah, this is kind of the key.
Yeah, we'll see. When we come back, we'll dive into the ball game, New Orleans and Philadelphia. Keep it where it is. Coming right back with week number 11.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Big game this Sunday in Lincoln Financial. Jalen Hurts and the crew fresh off their dominating road win over Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. They're 1.5-point favorites at home to Trevor Siemian, Scott, and the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans, back-to-back road games. They did cover on the road in Nashville, lost that ball game by two. That was a fishy line, right? Tennessee was underdogs for four straight games. They got four outright wins. All of a sudden, they're a three-point favorite, right on the number. Right before the game, it got bet down to 2.5 all week. It was right there, 2.5, 2, depending upon the book that you picked up Tennessee in that matchup. It was either a loss or a push. Now here come the Saints. Kamara's banged up. This offense is one-dimensional. No speed on the perimeter, and you're going up against Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, that are actually showing consistency in the passing attack. I still lean to the defense, though, of the Saints to somehow figure it out, and they grind out a victory. I don't love it, but I would lean to New Orleans in this ballgame.
You know, it's funny. This game and last week's game really kind of shows you sometimes about the boys in Vegas. It just how is it possible that the 8-2 Tennessee Titans are a 2.5-point home favorite over the New Orleans Saints? That's one, Joe. And then two, the very next week, that same Saints team is only a 1.5-point favorite to the 4-6 Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, what was it about that Titans game? And listen, they covered it. It was a rare time, right, where the team that was favored by 2.5 wins but doesn't cover. So they knew what they were doing by posting that line. What happened from last week to this week? Why so much respect for the Saints last week? and not as much this week, right? Because you would think they would be a favorite this week. I mean, if they're only a 2.5-point dog to the best team of the AFC on paper anyway, at least, you know, record-wise, then what are they doing being a 1.5-point favorite against one of the worst teams, I think, in the NFC? Why aren't they a 4 or 5-point favorite today? Against Philadelphia. It makes no sense. So it's quarterback stinks. No Kamara for the Saints.
Mark Ingram's old.
Ingram's old, right? I mean, but Philadelphia seems to play better on the road than they do at home, right? I mean, for whatever reason.
But they played the Chargers pretty tough, right? We thought that was a low line, too. 1.5. 1.5-2 with Justin Herbert, and they basically had that pegged almost to the number with that ball game as well. And Philadelphia had a 17-16 lead in that game, I will say that you flip a coin. You're going to get good Jalen Hurts, or you're going to get Jalen Hurts that is going to be forcing balls into coverage. Are you going to get the offense where they start fast? The biggest concern with Philadelphia is their defense. But at the end of the day, you have Trevor Siemian, you have that offense that's methodical. They don't have explosive chunk plays. They don't have an elite wide receiver. It's like, okay, we need about a 5-minute drive just to either kick a field goal or a touchdown. It's going to take us a while. And if you're Jalen Hurts, you're like, okay, I have an offense that's basically handcuffed. I'm going to do exactly what I did on the road against Teddy B and Vic Fangio, because that's New Orleans right now. They are almost a carbon copy of what Denver was last week. We want to run the football. We want to really limit possessions when we're up against explosive offenses. We're not built to go into a shootout, even though they went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady after Winston got hurt. That was more of an in-game decision because of game flow. If Sean Payton has his way, he wants a lower-scoring game and rely on that defense to force turnovers on the road.
Yeah, here's one for you. How about to not make the playoffs? Saints +124. You know, I mean, could you see them into a little tailspin? They got Philadelphia, which they could lose this week. Buffalo at home, Dallas at home. They do have the Jets, Tampa Bay on the road. They do have the Dolphins and Carolina at home, and then Atlanta on the road. It kind of eases up there towards the end, but. I don't think they're a very good football team. I don't think you're winning without Kamara, and I don't think you're winning without a real quarterback, and Trevor Siemian's not a real quarterback. So I that's one of those teams. Even at 5-4 now, they got one game lead, a half a game lead in essence. I could see that team going 3-5 the rest of the way and not make the postseason for sure. You want to give me odds on that one? I'll take that.
Well, what's interesting, Scott, is at the start of the year, before the quarterback battle with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, their win total was 9. And I was like, oh, hammer the under, because I even with Michael Thomas, I didn't think they'd be that good this year, because, I think they are one-dimensional from an offensive perspective. They don't have that explosive type of offense where if they're playing from behind, they can come back at any given moment. Even when they had Drew Brees, at least they had a little more explosiveness in terms of the chunk plays. Their total really hasn't moved. It's 9.5 right now on FanDuel. It's juiced to the under at -135, +115 to the over at 9.5. I just don't see it. Do you think they're going to get 5 more wins out of that schedule right now?
I don't think so. Again, like the last thing we spoke about, this week is kind of the key, right? If they win this week, even if they lost back-to-back to Buffalo, Dallas, they beat the Jets, that's 2. They lose to Tampa Bay, then they have to run the table at Miami, Carolina, and Atlanta. What'd you say?
I don't know if
8.5?
They could do that.
Or 9.5, you said.
9.5.
9.5. Yeah, that would be something. That would, you could play the under and still even hedge, even if they got close, because they'll be a favorite within those last 3 games. So, and hedge or pick them anyway, close to it anyway with Atlanta. I don't think so. I think they lose this week, and I think they lose to Buffalo and Dallas, and all of a sudden they're sitting there at 5-7, and the season's in turmoil. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. I agree.
Don't make the playoffs, both.
Well, let me ask you this. If let's say they don't make the playoffs And obviously the injury to Winston even before that. He's not the answer. He's not the franchise guy. Are they actively going out and getting a quarterback in 2022 in the draft in terms of to lead this team? You're not going to win with Jameis Winston long term. He's not a Super Bowl quarterback. And Taysom Hill, that experiment, when he's healthy, it's good, but it's not elite. It's not going to carry you to a Super Bowl going up against, an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady. They're not built like that. And even though they got the victory in the dome against Brady, in a playoff type of environment like last year, they're going to lose that type of game. I'm telling you, they're just not built long-term for success right now.
Yeah, you know, if you taste some Hill, Joe, you got to wonder, what did I do? You know, he did play and start some games last year, and they won them. You know, but, okay, so Breeze retires. I'm going to step in. No, it's Winston. Okay, Winston gets hurt. I'm going to step in. No, it's Trevor Siemian. You know, he's got to be thinking of himself, you know, what do I have to do to get a shot? It clearly, this love affair that we all thought that Sean Payton had for him, maybe he does to a certain extent, but not to the point of, okay, we're going to give you our team and go ahead and roll with it. I mean, if you have more faith in Trevor Siemian than you do Taysom Hill, then what was all that talk about Taysom Hill? What was the purpose then of having him on the team? That seems a little strange. Yeah, I don't like that Saints team. It's a very weird team, and they would probably either you know, draft a guy, move up in a draft, or, you know, is there a veteran quarterback out there that would they seriously have a chance to go get a an Aaron Rodgers if he's on the open market? Would you take a Jimmy Garoppolo, who no doubt will be available? Mitch Trubisky, do you think he's better than anything you could draft? You know, because they're kind of a win now team, right? You want to bring in a rookie quarterback after all the rookies, for the most part, outside of Mac Jones, have struggled so mightily this year. You know,
yeah,
that's a strange situation down in New Orleans.
It really is. It really is. I'm going to give you kudos now. We might as well talk about our Miami Dolphins. You told everybody last week, don't count out the Dolphins. Don't count them out. 36-1 to make the playoffs. You said, I'm hitching my wagon to the Miami Dolphins right here, right now. They step up as a 7.5-point dog, win the ball game outright against Lamar. Now they're 3-point favorites on the road against the pitiful New York Jets. They came back down to earth in back-to-back losses against the Colts and Bills. I told you this game scares me. Is this a complete domination by Miami? Has Tua found his groove? And has this defense bounce back to form from where they were last year?
I think it has. You know, you take it all the way back to the Buffalo game. That was a three. Now, they lost 26-11, but that was a 3-3 game in the third quarter. The defense was playing well, but it just eventually wore out. You know, then they shut down the Texans, but okay, you want to say it's the Texans, fine, I'll buy that, I suppose. But then they do, you know, the third straight good game against the Baltimore Ravens. So you would think they would have success against either Mike White. I think they'll go back to Zach Wilson after White's four picks this past week. And that's good news, because I think White has still the potential, whereas Zach, I don't think at this point, does. So I would be very surprised if the Dolphins didn't win this one. I like them laying only three. That Jet team is just awful. So, wow. And then now they're 4-7, and then I bet those 17-1 odds drop down to about 10-1. Because then they got Carolina at home, the Giants at home, a bye week, and then the Jets again. I'm telling you, it was all predicated on that Baltimore win. I said, if they could beat them, and I think they can, then they got a nice little four-game stretch here where you could win realistically all four. And whether the Dolphins are legit 7-7, which is what they would be, or a product of their schedule, what's the difference? They're 7-7, and they're back in it. And then, you know, you look at it, then they play the Saints on the road, and the Saints are falling apart, as we're saying. So that's not necessarily an automatic W or loss. Tennessee probably would be, and then they finish up with the Patriots. It may come down to Belichick and the Dolphins' final game of the regular season. How crazy is that?
Well, FanDuel's buying in. Win total right now, 6.5, -110 either way. When we come back, we'll be talking about Green Bay and Minnesota. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the upcoming week for NFL action, week number 11. We talked about New Orleans. Going to turn our attention to Green Bay and Minnesota. This Minnesota team, Scott, I mean, they really need a therapist, because the weeks that they should win, they get a loss, like Cooper Rush steps up as a 4.5-point underdog, wins outright on Sunday night. Then they go on the road in back-to-back road games. They lose to Baltimore as basically a 7-point dog, right? They have the lead for basically three quarters before Lamar Jackson leads the comeback in overtime. They lose 34-31. You say, okay, there's no way this team could get on a bus or on a plane, go to the West Coast to face Justin Herbert, who was coming off a good win in Philadelphia by 3 points. They're catching basically three and a half. They win the ball game outright, 27-20. Now I'm back on Minnesota thinking they could be a playoff contender. It starts this weekend against Aaron Rodgers and the crew. Dalvin Cook had a huge game last year in Lambeau, but this is at home. I think they step up and knock off the Packers outright. I'm taking the points, taking Minnesota on the money line here.
Yeah, I don't have any faith. I can't take Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers, even though Rodgers hasn't played, you know, didn't play well this past week. It's still Green Bay. They have an opportunity now with Arizona losing, Rams losing, Dallas losing 2 weeks ago. You know, there is going to be a battle there for first place in the overall top seed, and a bye, oh, by the way, not just home field advantage throughout the postseason, but a bye, because only the one team gets the bye. You know, Minnesota, they play a lot of close games. 14 of their last 17 games have been one-score games. So you're going to win some of those. You're going to lose some of those. You think about it. If you know, and the mighty if word in NFL, if things went the right way, you know, they beat Arizona, but they don't, you know, and they beat Baltimore, but they don't. But they could easily have a couple of more wins. But then that said, you know, they could have easily lost to Detroit. So those things tend to even themselves out. But has it been a magical season for the Vikings? They could have had two more wins. I still think Green Bay's the better team. I think they'll be done with the COVID stuff. And they'll miss, the running back there. What's Aaron Jones, my guy from UTEP. But A.J. Dillon's pretty good, so I don't think they'll miss him that much. I like the Packers laying a small price. Anytime I get Aaron Rodgers in a division game and basically pick him even on the road, I'll go with Rodgers.
Okay, you mentioned two games that they should have, you know, could have won. What about the week one matchup against Joe Burrow? They lose that 27-24. And then, what about Cooper Rush in Dallas? You have a backup quarterback. You're at home. You should have never. There's two games they should have definitely won. Week one against Joe Burrow, they had an opportunity in the overtime. They got down to around the 39-yard line. Zimmer plays for the field goal. Of course, that's what he wants to do. The guy misses it. And then, obviously, they come right down the field. Joe Burrow leads that comeback. So, here's the situation, though. I think that when you just look at the Vegas angle, they are 44-1 right now on FanDuel to win the NFC Championship. And if they knock off Green Bay now, they play Green Bay again, right? Green Bay would have three losses. Minnesota would have five. There's the potential for them to catch them by the end of the year. They would have, if they win both games against Green Bay, they would have the head-to-head. They could steal the division right here, right now.
Yeah, but then your reward's going to be playing either Dallas, Tampa Bay, Arizona, or the Rams. I mean, there is no, unless you get the number one seed, there's no real advantage. You know, I mean, you got some good teams in the NFC. You know, it's not necessarily like the AFC where maybe you'd get, a Miami Dolphins. I mean, you're going to get a pretty good team, even if you win the division the way the new playoff format is set up. So, 33-1 to win the NFC. They're
44.
If
44 to win,
you can make it 94. Well, you can make it 144. And they're not beating Green Bay twice. First off, and then they would still need the Packers to lose again, and you would still need the Vikings to continue to win and not lose some of these close games like they've done all year. No.
How about 10-1 to win the North?
No. Just as soon – no, you know what? Because if they're a dog against Green Bay at home now, let's just say they do win, They don't play Green Bay until the end of the year, basically, that final game, next to the last game. On the road, they're going to be a solid, no doubt, if Green Bay continues to, you know, chug along there. You know, they would be a solid plus 330 dog. You know, the problem is, you know, they play Green Bay that second game too late, Joe. You know, they may be two back at that point and need to beat Green Bay and have Green Bay lose again the following week. It's too bad for them that they don't play them a little bit sooner. We could say, well, we play Green Bay twice over the next 4 weeks, and we beat them both times, and we're right there. Nah.
That doesn't entice me. Cheap for Scotty's blood. I love it. We got to find something to entice Scott in terms of week number 11. How about the weekly specials? Tops on the list, Scott. DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb to combine for 200-plus rushing yards, plus 250. You biting at that?
You know, they gave Swift the ball a ton against Pittsburgh, a ton. You know, will
it was
they
a
have
wet
the
track, though.
With wet a wet track. Track, yeah. So will the philosophy be the same against the Browns? Are the Browns not going to score? They might not. You know, if you don't get Baker out there, or even if you do get Baker out there, you know, they're so ineffective. And if it's not, then you get Case Keenum. So it could be a game where theoretically it's all up to Swift and the Lions. I think Chubb will get his yards. It's whether Swift will get his. Two running backs, same game. That's a lot of running. That's a lot of eating up the clock. 250?
200.
200? And a touchdown each?
No, just 200. Combined 200 rushing yards is plus 250 on FanDuel right here, right now, week 11 special.
No touchdowns, nothing?
Nothing. Oof. I'll say it again. 200 yeah. plus. Both. Nick Chubb could have 190 yards. Swift
could have 9, and I'm in trouble. I think you know what? I think they combine for 200.
All right, so you like that one. Here's one that I like, actually, okay? We have the marquee battle. We have KC and Dallas, okay? Patrick Mahomes and Prescott to combine for 600-plus yards through the air, plus 130. I know it's not really a bang for your buck, but I love the way Mahomes looked on Sunday night, and Dak Prescott dialed in. Now, I know he didn't throw for 300, he didn't have to, because they opened up such a big lead on Atlanta, but we expect Kansas City to be in this ball game. It's at home. Dallas on the road. Could be a little cold. They might run Pollard and Zeke, but still, you got to think it's pass first for the Dallas Cowboys to knock off the Chiefs in this ballgame.
I do, and I think that will hit, but here's my issue with that, Joe. What are their regular numbers going to be total-wise? You know, it can't be much higher than that, right? I mean, you don't generally see anything that much higher than 300, so if you just took let's just say it is 300 for each guy. Now I'm doing two basic bets, which should pay 265. Now I'm only getting $130.
Well, I can tell you, I took Mahomes on Sunday night. It was 287.5 on FanDuel, right. But it was minus money, minus 110, I believe, or minus right. 113. So think of it that way.
All right, you're getting a 12 yard advantage. So right. I wonder. I'm looking. They don't have them posted right now for some reason on that game.
Mm-hmm. How about this one?
That's a good value, plus 130 only.
All right, so how about this one? This one might be good. Justin Jefferson had a big performance against L.A., had that dynamic catch, jumping up over the defender and grabbing it for Kirk Cousins in the second half of that ballgame. Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers, right? Both players, no touchdowns. I'll say it again. No touchdowns, just receiving yards. 175-plus for both of these guys Sunday afternoon in Minnesota. Plus 150.
Plus 150. Indoors, they do historically play high-scoring games, although Green Bay's been an under team. They're at a nice little under run. They are, I'll tell you here in a sec, they are 7 straight unders, believe it or not. So that means lower-scoring game. But these two teams do generally play higher-scoring games. I would take that. I like the decent amount of odds. Not great, great, but plus 150 for both these guys. Total, what you're going to need one to hit 100 and the other hit 75. That, you know, those are decent numbers, but I'll take my chance on that happening.
All right, Now, the two higher ones, I know you like something with a little bite to it, right? You need you need something to wake you up. This might get it for you. Cam Newton, 50-plus rushing yards and to score one-plus touchdown, plus 250. You think he could do it in back-to-back weeks?
No. No, I don't. I think Cam he'll get – if he tries to run like he used to, the one touchdown I could see – the 50 yards rushing, I don't think that's going to happen. Is it worth the 250? 350, yeah. 250, no, I don't see it. They'll get him killed. I don't think they would design plays. Maybe a couple of weeks down the line, he gets his legs underneath him a little bit. They might design some real, okay, roll out right, you're running the football. I don't think they would do that now. You know, basically 1 week in the fold there. So,
we'll see.
It is the Ron Rivera game. You know, he is going to be pumped up. I will say this, you know, you got to believe, he may not say it publicly, but you got to believe he's pissed off at Rivera, right?
Is
I mean,
there
are a couple of opportunities. Oh, well,
there were a couple of opportunities.
Yeah, but the problem is there were a couple of years where he was looking for jobs and Rivera and the Skins Potatoes were looking for quarterbacks and they wanted no part of him. I can't help but think that's got to piss him off. I mean, he's human, Cam. I wouldn't blame him one bit. I mean, geez, I was your quarterback for how many years? Took you to the Super Bowl. I need a favor here, coach. Throw me a little life raft here. Put me on the bench as your reserve. You can't even do that? Oh,
all
yeah.
Right.
You know what? Right, nah, I changed my mind. Give me that one. He's in for a monster game. Oh, yeah.
All right. Monster game. 150
give me the 250,
plus
yes,
on the ground.
Absolutely.
All right. How about – and then the highest one on the board, Ramondre Stevenson for New England and Jacoby Myers to both – score one-plus touchdowns. Now, Myers scored his first touchdown last week against Cleveland, all right? And at the end of the day, Stevenson, we know, has been implemented in terms of the run game. Going up against that suspect defense in Atlanta, I said it yesterday, I'm all in on Atlanta. This line already opened at 6. I said 6 points for a short week, Atlanta. Now it's up to 7. Thank you, FanDuel. I'll take those 7. I think Atlanta could win the ball game outright, so I would say no to Stevenson and Jacoby Myers to both score a touchdown here.
Yeah, and we saw what happened to the last 7-point road favorite on a Thursday, right? Thank you, Baltimore Ravens. That's a tough spot. 5-1, though. 5-1. Stevenson would – I'm not worried about Myers. It's Stevenson because of Belichick, you know, rotating his running backs and making each one a star 1 week. And this past week it was Stevenson with his couple of touchdowns. But 5-1, again – you know, what are their odds of scoring a touchdown? And then put it in a parlay with those odds. And I bet Jacoby Myers is probably about 5-1, almost all by himself, 4-1, to tell you the truth.
Well, I'll give you his touchdown prop is plus 150. Anytime
really?
Touchdown.
For any, Myers?
Myers, 150.
Only 150? Really?
Only
I want Stevenson.
Stevenson, I got to go down the list. I don't even think minus 165, Scotty.
All right, so you're getting good value at 5-1 then.
Yep.
All right, I'll take it.
We'll see. Up. That's if New England pulls off the road victory and moves to 7-4 on the year. I'm not so sure they can do it. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show, we've been taking an early look at all the Week 11 lines. Jacksonville's been on a little bit of a heater here, Scotty, right? They get the outright victory as a 14.5-point dog against Buffalo 2 weeks ago. They're 10.5-point dogs again against Indianapolis. Push the Colts to the limit, lose but still cover. Now they're back home catching 6.5 to Jimmy Graps and the crew. I got to be honest with you. I'm taking the 6.5 points in this ballgame. I'm rolling with Urban Meyer.
You know, that was a big loss for them. I mean, I'm starting to sweat You know, my under 7.5 total with that. I just, you know, I don't want to get them. They won two of their last three, but that was a big, big loss for them. So you go ahead, you roll with the with Urban. I can't do it. I just can't. They are playing a little bit better football, I must say. But I can't do it. I love the Dolphins this week. My initial numbers, love the Dolphins. I can't believe the Lions are getting 10 against the Cleveland Browns with the banged up Browns. Love playing the coach's former team system with Ron Rivera in Washington getting 3.5. I don't think the Ravens should be 6-point road favorites against anybody, including the Chicago
really?
Bears.
That's yeah, my no. bet of the week. Love the Ravens.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think they're that good. I think that they're another one of those teams, kind of like Arizona, you know, very fortunate to win some games. Could have very easily have two or three more losses. I just don't think they're that good of a football team. Maybe
agreed.
They win, but not by a touchdown.
Yeah, see, I agree with you on that about Baltimore, but it's going to be a little cold in Chicago. That leads and favors the ground attack. I'm not sold on Chicago's defense being elite. I know they got the cover against Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger, but at the end of the day, I think in this matchup, they're up against it. I don't know if Chicago can shut down Lamar on the perimeter. I think they're an aging defense, so we'll see how that plays out. Scott and I will be here tomorrow. We'll continue to break down all the games for this coming weekend. For Scott Wetzel, a great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.